I'll read starting at verse number 1. Simon Peter, and the servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to what? Glory and virtue. All right? Glory and virtue. Now, we've been talking about understanding our divinity. And as we go on down here, we're talking now about a revelation of royalty. And that's part 8. So as we were doing our thinking together, we have to realize that God, we realize that God is the judge, that God is the lawgiver, and that God is the king. We found that out over in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 28, okay? And so God is the king, the judge, and the lawgiver. But then what we found out is that you and I are his children. In fact, the Bible talks about us and calls us his offspring. That's found in Acts chapter 7 and verse 28 and 29. So you and I are the offspring of God. Over in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, it says Jesus is a king of kings, and he's a Lord of lords. So if we're talking about God, if we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about us, whatever they have in them, we have in us. So Jesus is the king, God is God, and the Bible says over in Psalm 82, we read, didn't he say that you are gods? Spelled with a little g, of course. And then it says over about kings, it says that you and I are royalty. In fact, it says that 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says that, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So whatever God has in him, we have in us. And now we have to learn how to walk in that, because now we're talking about royalty. We're not talking about just a new life. We're talking about a life on a certain level. In fact, he said over in, let's go over there. Let's go over to first, go over to Psalms chapter 8, please. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Let me know when you get to Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him, care for him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him who? Man, with what? Glory and honor. Glory has to do with the anointing, honor has to do with position. So, verse 6, thou hast made him, who is him? Man, to have dominion over the what? Works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things where? Under man's feet. So it's telling me that mankind has authority over all of this, everything in this earth. And that's one thing that hasn't been taught about the church and to the church, that the church, in fact, is the ruling authority in this earth. In fact, the church is the most powerful institution that God has ever placed on earth, the church. Now, we are here to establish God's kingdom, and he's put everything under our authority. Everything. Now, look what he talked about in verse 3. He says, when I consider the work of my fingers, who made angels? God. Are they the work of God's hands? Yes. Then that's why angels are beneath us. Now, he's not talking about man who's not saved, not born again. He's talking about man. He's talking about the one who has the nature of God in him. Any man that's in Christ is a what? New creature. So we have the nature of God in us. So that nature that we have inside of us is the same DNA that God has in him. Now stop looking at your flesh, because you might be this color, I might be this color, you might be fat, you might be skinny, whatever have you. Stop looking at that. Let's go and look at you, because you are the person inside of there. Hello. All right, that house is your temple or your house, or it's your covering till you leave here. Don't you? And you'll find that people who lose this covering don't stay around very long. They got to go somewhere. Now, I know we've had people talking about they saw their mama last night, but this really is not that. This is the gospel here. Okay, now, as you look at this, let's look then at how powerful you are in terms of words, because what I'm trying to do now is connect you with your royalty. Your royalty has been in question. And it's been in question because, one, of financial empowerment, but other, because of our own behavior. So the royalty has been in question. And the only reason it's been in question is because we haven't had certain things, or we haven't behaved a certain way, and many times because we hadn't been taught. Now, I'm saying that I remember when I was a kid and I was Superman. And I used to buy Superman shirts. I found out I could buy a Superman shirt for 50 cents and a box top from Kellogg's Corn Flakes. So I bought that, got that one shirt, and it made me feel so good till I ordered six more. So this is the truth. I still got pictures. One day we're going to show you a picture of me in elementary school. I had a Superman shirt on. If I didn't have that shirt on, I didn't feel right. And it was a sweater, you know, it's a T-shirt, but it had big Superman on the front. And that thing got to me to the point that I got up on that garage over there and I was going to jump off that garage and fly down to Wendell's house. But the thing of it is notice that image was affecting my behavior. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that royalty for the believer is a revelation. And if you're strictly in the five senses and you don't leave that dimension, then you'll never get a revelation of who you really are. And that'll affect your behavior. Folks, you'll find that people who know who they are in terms of being royal, it'll change who you associate with. I said it'll change who you associate with. And it'll also change what you say. It'll change your decorum, your speech, your dress, your behavior. It'll change this wrong image, folks. Amazing what has happened to us. And I'm just saying that now we're bringing you back to the right image. But let me show you this, because we talked about how God operates. God operates by words. He operates by words. So in this, let's look at words and how words can affect things. Spoken by a man who is anointed of God, which you are in the New Testament. Now, this was in the Old Testament. So these people didn't have the power that you have in the New Testament. All right? God has given us better things than the things that were in the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Kings, please. Pardon me. 2 Kings and chapter 6. 2 Kings and chapter 6. All right, 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you with me? All right, in 2 Kings chapter 6, it says in verse 24, come on down there. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head or donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. That's $50, folks. $50 then is like almost $5 million today. A donkey head sold for $5 million. And the fourth part of a calf's dove's dung, that was a wild vegetable, for 5 pieces of silver, $3. Now, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto the king, saying, "Help me, my lord, O king." Now, what has happened? Two of the women got together, and they decided, listen, look like we're going to die anyway. All hope is gone. So I tell you what, let's boil my infant and eat him today. And then after we run out of that, we'll boil the other one and eat it. And one of them, they both agreed. One of them did that. And then next thing you know, came to the other one for her infant. And she said, no, I just can't do that. And so they cried to the king. The issue came before the king. King rent his clothes, went before the Lord. All right, he repented for the nation, really. And so what happened? Look at 2 Kings chapter 7 and look at verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now let me tell you what that's like. That's like telling you tomorrow you're going to be a millionaire. So what happened? The next day, tomorrow about this time, it's going to be plenty, it's going to be cheap. Everybody's going to have plenty. Now, that word was so outrageous to the people who heard it until one of the people who served the king came to him and said, why are you telling these people that? If God himself would open heaven himself and pour out food, no way the condition in our lives could change that quickly. No way. He said, well, you're going to see it, but you're not going to eat it. And then it says that there are four lepers at the gate. Now, they didn't hear this. They didn't hear this. They were at the gate. But this prophet spoke it. And because God has given man authority over this earth, he spoke something. And he believed what he said was going to come to pass. Now, this is the royalty part, because kings believe when they give a command, it will be carried out. They believe that. In the military, a general believes that. If he gives an order, it's going to be carried out, buddy. He doesn't have to wonder about it, doesn't have to stay up at late at night, so forth. Well, you and I don't only have dominion in the natural realm. You and I have dominion also in the spirit realm. That means that angels are under us. So when they hear the word spoken under the anointing, they have to move. So now what happens? These four lepers sitting at the gate. And they said something. They said, hey, why are we going to sit here till we die? They said, now if we go into Israel in there, they're dying. If we sit here, we're going to die. Well, then why don't we just go into the enemy's camp? And what did they do? They went into the enemy's camp, but as they arrived there, there was no enemy there. The enemy had gone. Now, I want to share a scripture with you, if you can put something right there with me, and let's go over to Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah chapter 55. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Let me know when you get there. All right. Look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me what? Void. But it shall what? Accomplish that which I please. And it shall what else? Prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now what's going to prosper? The word. What's going to accomplish it? The word. Not you. The word. Now you got to see this is a revelation for you. If the general tells this man, I want you to close down this part of the airbase at 12 o'clock tonight. Now the general's home, sleep. What do you think the man's going to do? He's going to follow the word of the general. Why? Because of his rank. If a private told him that, he'll tell a private to go hide. Now, I'm not saying disrespect a private, but I'm saying a private can't tell this officer to do something. Somebody higher authority has to tell it. I'm telling you who's got the higher authority. Stay with me. See, we gonna get this out. So he said, tomorrow about this time is gonna be plenty, it's gonna be cheap. Now he spoke the word. Now God is now working on this word to make it good. So who he found to make it good is four lepers. But somebody is going to make it good. And so when the four lepers went to the enemy's camp, as they got up and they went to the enemy's camp, nobody was there. The food was left there. The gold was left there. The tents were left there. The horses were left. The food, clothing was left. Everything. And these four lepers had a field day. They just trying on them suits and eating all them tacos and so forth and so on. Now, this is an example. Now, let me show you another one now, that because I want to deal with your mind on this thing. Let's go. Let's go. Now, just imagine this. Suppose whatever you said comes to pass. Let's don't complicate it. Whatever you say comes to pass. Would you watch what you say? All right, stay with me. Let's go over to 1 Kings and 1 Kings chapter 17, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. And Elijah said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Ahab is the king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to what? My word. And the rain stopped. The rain stopped. Come over all the way to James. And chapter 5, that's all the way over by the book of Revelation, the last book. James chapter 5 is just before 1 Peter. I'm going somewhere with this. Look at James chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The effective fervent prayer of who? A what kind of man? A righteous man does what? Availeth much. Elias, or in this case, Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of how many years? 3 years and 6 months. Now this man stopped the rain. Now wait a minute, let's keep going. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now notice what it said, verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. It's putting him in the same category with you and me. Said, now this man speaks things that are beyond this little box that we've seen ourselves in, and he speaks things and big things happen. Say amen to this. Now, I'm still talking now. I'm talking about us, royalty, and we're decreeing things. You're going to get this before you leave here today in Jesus' name. All right, let's go to two more verses and then we go back to Daniel. Let's go to Job again. Job chapter 22, please. And then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Job chapter 22, we're going to put this in your mind, in your thinking. Look at Job chapter 22. Look at verse 28. Read it with me. Come on. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the Lord and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Now, this is interesting. Has anybody got an amplified Bible that I can use for just a moment? All right. Let's look at what this says. 22 and 28. You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. For you. Now, notice when God spoke, let there be light, he didn't move. He just spoke. What happened to the light? Okay. Who was in the earth, hovering over the earth, waiting for the word? The Holy Spirit. What I'm saying. No, you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, please. Proverbs chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Proverbs just after the book of Psalms now. You don't need to go that far, honey. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and look at verse 4. Have you got it? Where the word, come on, of a king is, keep going, there's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Now, I want you to see where a word of a king is, there's power. A king. Now, notice what's happening with the church, though. The church had lost its identity. I'm talking about from the time that when Jesus came back and launched the disciples, then we entered into something called the Dark Ages. And Dark Ages were the time that the Bible was shut up in monasteries. They wouldn't even let the common person read it. They wouldn't. Now, that was the devil. But then you got people like Wycliffe and people that were burned at the stakes from manufacturing Bibles to give them to the average person. Amen. The devil. Why? Because he knows that if you study this word long enough, you'll get a new image of who you are. And that's all you got to do, folks. See, there are things that you can't do without position. You can't do them. There are things you can't receive without it. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, notice, to get the inheritance, you gotta be built up. See, coming out of Egypt, they couldn't get it because they still saw themselves as what? Come on, grasshoppers, insects. See, you can't see cancer higher than you. Oh, Lord, can't you see what I'm saying? See, Jesus wasn't inferior to anything, including death. He was superior to everything. Everything. There's nothing, lack, debt, none of that. He was a king over it. And what he was trying to train us to be is just like him. To walk in the same anointing that he walked in. Why? Because he's the head and we're the body. And what has happened is the enemy has come in and perverted the church's thinking. Yes. And had us singing these old songs, please don't pass me by. Now, what kind of song is that for a king? Now, I'm not coming down on anybody, so don't you get mad at me and roll your little beady eyes about what I said just now, because you don't need to do that. That is not why I said that. The reason why I said that is because I want you to snap out of that thinking. Part of the church has been injected with songs that are designed to keep us at a certain level. Because you are not going to rise any higher than you're willing to confess. And it's kept us by the roadside begging, waiting on Jesus to come by. You don't need him to come by. Jesus already came by. He left you his word so that you don't have to wait on me or nobody else. And that's why the kingdom of God message is fought today, because it empowers the individual. There are people who still want to control you, to keep you under their thumb, because they have built up their superiority on your inferiority. And what you need to do is say, that dog won't hunt no more. I'm getting out of here. I am royalty. Are you following what I'm saying? And you got to face your fears, because the enemy uses fear just like you use a thermostat in your room. He'll control that thing. If he sees you going too far, he'll raise up some kind of fear inside of you. Fear that what they're going to say about you. Fear whether you're going to be accepted. Fear whether so forth and so on. Fear and so forth. He'll raise up all them fears. And what you got to do is understand that on the other side of that fear is your blessing. And whatever you fear most, guaranteed the biggest harvest is on the other side of it. You better hear what I'm telling you. I'm talking right now. And then that's what she said. She said, you know, all of a sudden what happened was, you know, my grandmama said, well, you know, so-and-so believed that and she died and so forth. All that's for fear. Look at, listen at the news. All they got, I try to look at the news and all I hear is medicine. I hear, are you having a heart attack? Well, you can, it's, man, you get a good dose of that every day. You might just might have something. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's all fear-based. It's to sell stuff. It's to control you. It's to keep you from going into the promised land. It's to keep you from rising as a king, as a ruler, as somebody in this earth that nothing can touch. Man, you've heard Leroy Thompson say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. You know, when he said that, some people jumped on him. Well, how you know that? You can't never tell what God may do. Yes, you can. It's in the book. He said, I'll increase you more, more, and more, and more. Well, if you can say, I'll never be broke another day in your life, and that's under redemption, also healing is under redemption. Why can't you say, I'll never be sick another day in my life? I tell you why you won't say it. Because somebody done told you that there's a possibility that even if you say that, it might just happen to you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass, man. In your natural mind, you don't know how it's going to happen. Here's the three Hebrews. This is what they told them. They said, you're going to have to bow down now, because if you don't bow down, the king's going to throw you in that fire. Well, they wouldn't bow down. Why? Because the laws of their God said, thou shalt not bow thyself down to any other god. Well, what did they do? They had to face their fear. They had to come and face to face with Babylon. And I'm telling you, Babylon's been ruling this earth and nobody's been standing up against it, but God is raising up an army in this last day. They said, King, I know you made a decree, but we're going to make a decree. The God that we serve. Come on now. See, our God is the judge. Why is he the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses, not your opponent. Say amen to that. All you want to be is on God's side. What happened? He threw him in there, didn't he? Now, wait a minute. God could have come before Nebuchadnezzar threw him in there and he put his men to grab them. He could have had all the men to just fall out dead. But he didn't do it, did he? Come on now. He could have had it so the furnace door wouldn't, the latch wouldn't open good. Come on now. I'm talking about sometimes you don't know what God wants to do. The only thing you do know is he's going to do what he promised. So it may be that you're going to go through, but if you do go through, you will not be burned. Your God is going to deliver you some kind of way.
Go
Y'all with me? What happened? He sent an angel in the fire. Fire couldn't burn him. I'm talking about capital punishment. The electric chair wouldn't go off. David, what did he do? He said, hey, Goliath, let me tell you something. Now, this is where I want to go now. Yeah. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Stop looking at yourself.
Yes. That's it.
Let me tell you how to get rid of fear. You ready?
Yes.
Get the presence of God. Yes. Let me show you that. Turn with me over to Psalms chapter 23. Now, I've heard all kind of things about this, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm talking about all fear. Y'all with me? Look what it says here. You with me? Psalm 23. The Lord is my who?
Shepherd.
I shall not what?
Want.
He maketh me to what?
Lie down.
Where?
In green pastures.
He leadeth me beside what?
Still waters.
He does what to my soul? He leadeth me in the path of what?
Righteousness.
Keep going. For his name's sake. Here it goes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. Boy, if you know and have a presence of God. See, Eden represented the presence of God, and Adam got put out of Eden. But Eden has come back. It's come back in the form of the kingdom of God. And it's in you right now, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you, you get a revelation of the presence of God, and you can sleep in any room by yourself. Come on. Come on. Come on now. See, you, what happens is we leave God out and don't be nothing but us.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Go ahead, man.
All right, let me see. Can I finish this up? Man, yeah. Hey. Boy, I feel like preaching today. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Come on over there. Amen. All right, look what it says here, verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. I got in my reference here. In the, I guess the Amplified Bible says, slaves on horses and princes walking like slaves on the earth. That's a problem with that. But let me tell you what God calls it. Look at verse 5. He said, there is an evil. It is evil for a person who's anointed and royalty to have a situation where it's perverted and they have let the slaves tell them what to do. It is an evil, man. Lord, have mercy. Boy, I'm telling you, I can go on with this. So what did I tell you about Babylon? All right, yeah. Let me preach this now. Babylon, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord, darling. Okay. That's true. You're right. I started to give you $100. Let me do this. Demonic strategy of the Babylonian system. The devil wants only the best. We talked about that, right? And what we did is we took you over to Daniel. Let's go over there one more time, please. Daniel chapter 1. I'm winding down now. I'm going to tell you like the man who, after he told him this, went on for 3 more hours. I'm beginning to close. All right, look what it said. Look what it said here in chapter 1 again. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand, and with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, and the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there's no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding, and science, and such as had ability, and them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision. Let me just stop right there. Okay, so what happened? So Babylon swept down here at Judah, in Jerusalem, and took Israel captive. But notice who he took, and we talked about this before, but I want to go a step further. He took people who were officers and fighting people, men and women. He took craftsmen, took good-looking folks, no blemishes, slim, nice, good-looking, noble, people who were able to contribute to the expansion of Babylonian kingdom. So those are people that he took. He left the others. And he left the others, and again, what we said is his strategy, the Babylonian system strategy, is to impoverish the church. Okay, he's trying to bring it to a poverty so that the work cannot get done. He knows that it takes skill and it takes money to be able to expand God's kingdom. He knows that. So now he's done this, gotten the people who had abilities and trained and fastest and you know, the most brilliant people. He took them. Now, what we said about that is he had to take those people if he wanted to go further in his kingdom, because Satan is not an originator. He is not an originator. Right, what do I mean by that? He cannot create or prepare a people who have nothing and make something out of them. He can't do it. He can't do it. He doesn't have the secrets to motivating those kinds of people. He doesn't have the wisdom to tap into things that could cause learning to come to them. He doesn't have all of that. So the thing that he has to do is take the people who have the obvious traits that he desires to furnish his kingdom, to further his kingdom, and he has to take them. Now, what happened is, again, this kind of thinking has kind of been creeping into the church. And what some people have thought is that if a person didn't have all of this or all of that and so forth and so on, that perhaps they couldn't be used as well. And also, the poor and the way the church handles the poor and handles the problems of the poor and the weak and the rejected and so forth, all that has kind of crept into the church. But what the church is for people who are sick, people who are rejected, people who are weak, people who do have problems. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, of course, what has happened is because of Satan and him casting this kind of picture of the church, that a lot of people who would normally have come to the church perhaps didn't come because they saw the church as Babylon had painted the picture. And how was that? They saw him weird, different, poor, irrelevant, fanatical in cases, no power, saw him incompetent. unqualified, hypocritical, out of touch with reality, weak, so I'm always begging, and not reliable, not innovative, not disciplined. Now this is what it's on, see. And so there's been some truth to that, that there's been some of that in the church. But I'm telling you now what has happened is this picture of the church is going to start changing. And what has happened is the enemy has broadcast his lifestyle. And the drug dealers got the big cars and all the wheels that when you stop, they still rolling. Just hear what I'm saying now. And so forth and so on. So now, what happens? One of the people in our staff, they told their relative, one of their relatives, say, hey, I got a new job. I say, oh, you did? So yeah. So you're leaving the financial firm you're with? Yep. Where are you going to work? I'm going to work for the church. Oh no, you're going to work for the church? Oh my Lord, you left that good job for guts. You see what I'm saying? Now, realize that the church is designed to be the most powerful institution that God has ever placed in this earth. The church is designed to manage all the resources of this earth. The church is designed to be the wealthiest entity in this earth. Now, what's happening here? Why isn't some of this manifesting? And I think, again, because the church had lost its picture of how the church really should be and how we should really be operating. Now, I'm going to just give you something here. Just praise God and let you chew on it for next time. In this, Daniel went into captivity. But here is Daniel and the three Hebrews in captivity. And the Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 1, that in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them to be how many times? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Lord, have mercy. Can y'all stay with me just a minute? I want you to see something. Christians, for the most part, do not want to go into the system. Why? Because they're in there doing things that I don't like. Well, understand, the church was designed to go into the world. And God knew what they were doing. And he sent you in there to bring light into the darkness. That you are light of the world and salt of the earth. But here's what I want you to get hold to. God is changing the system. But he's not changing it from the outside in. He is changing the system from the inside out. He is sending you into the system to change it from within. Now, as you go, can y'all take this? Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Now, I want you to see something. Because Daniel And the three Hebrews, or I know Daniel, he was considered one of the wise men. So that means he was busy living in a witchcraft community. The one next to him was a chief sorcerer. Now I'm just kind of thinking now. See, he didn't live. Sometimes you don't want to go among them. But ho, that's what you're designed for. And there is something in that environment that is a mechanism needed to trigger an anointing that is on your life to bring forth the most powerful system in the earth. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, this hadn't been preached. I hadn't heard it. But this is what God does. Notice, Joseph tied him up, took him as a slave down to Egypt, didn't they? But when he got down there, something blew up. Am I right about it? Here is Joseph. Next thing you know, he has risen to be over Potiphar's house. Got it? And how did he get there? This man is a Jew. But there was favor on the blessing. Oh, come on now. I'm only telling you something. Well, I'm going to leave my job and go full time in the ministry. Well, let me ask you something. Why? I don't have anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. My point to you is, what have you done in that job? Because that job is not a job. It's a platform for changing a society. And God said that though your beginning was small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Now, that's not a suggestion. That's a promise. That's a model from God. Now, here's the deal. You think because you didn't go to Harvard. I'm about to. Can I cut loose? Nothing against Harvard, nothing against Yale, nothing against Princeton. I'm saying, hey, because you didn't go to an Ivy League university, that top door didn't open for you. That doesn't make any difference. That doesn't make any difference. This is what I'm trying to tell you. With the anointing. Man, you got to see what I'm saying now. With the anointing. How about a man like Willie Gary? Here he was. He was a lawyer, right? And I just looked at his tape the other day, his biography tape, and at the end he says, God did it.
Yes, right.
He ain't ashamed to tell you who did it. God did it. Now, what did he do? Well, he won a verdict of $500 million. His firm is making what? $30 million a month? What are they doing? Justice. But he wasn't even intelligent enough to get in a university, and Shaw let him in. Shaw University, a little black college down there in wherever it is, down in Texas, wherever. They let him in. But he, all of a sudden, something hit him. Now understand, he was picking beans down in Florida with 13 other members of his family in a 3-bedroom house. How about Peter Daniels? Here he was at the age, all these people have spoken here. At the age of 23, he was an illiterate bricklayer. But Billy Graham came over town and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Peter received Christ and all of a sudden discovered he was the son of the king. Now, one of the richest men all over the world flying over here. I'm just saying, wait a second now. The tendency is you start looking at yourself and say, I didn't go to that university. I didn't do that. But what is the anointing? What is, see, we done sung about the rain. That's what it is. Yes. That's what they're talking about. The former and the latter rain. It's the anointing that's going to come to beautify the church. The anointing is God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. Am I right about it? But the anointing also is God's power coming on human flesh to do what only God can do. Satan has to take the best because he has no way of originating them again. He can't re-prepare them. But God can take your nephew that's blown out of his mind on cocaine and take him, baptize him in Jesus' name, pull him up out of that water, fill him with the Holy Ghost, and reconstitute his memory, reconstitute his brain in one stroke. Let me tell you, folks, if this thing is preached, see, God blesses. If you want faith for something, you got to preach it. If I don't preach it, you don't have no faith for it. But I'm preaching something now, that God's going to take the foolish things. Come on, foolish thing. In the last day, I'm not coming against education, because we can use that too. The church is not to push people out with education, but it's not to condemn the people without it, because the people without it can get an anointing for it and have it operating at a level that the world, it's 10 times better than the world can ever operate. Ooh, Lord, y'all got to get what I'm saying. I'm not against education, but what I am against is people who think that education is their God. Ain't but one God, and he's the judge. He's the lawgiver, and he's the king. Folks, it's all in here. Here's David. David didn't know anything. He's out there playing a guitar, keeping cheap. Amen. But all of a sudden, a man comes to the house named Samuel. He said, God has sent me here to anoint somebody in your house to be a king. He said, oh, my boys just came from the health club. Boys, y'all come on in here. They come in here. You follow what I'm saying? And then what had happened? He said, they're not among these. Do you have any more? Well, I got one out there playing. He can't get to play. He's out there keeping sheep out there. He said, well, call him in here. Call him in here. Here come David. Hey, what's up, Doc? Oh, whoa. Hey, what'd it be like? What'd it be like? This is him. Foolish things. You better hear what I'm telling you. What did he do? Raised him up to be a ruler and one of the finest kings that has ever hit this earth in Israel. David, little guy who smelled like sheep. I said sheep now. Sheep. I don't want you to get that wrong. Be surprised. People write letters and they heard things I didn't even say. I'm like, where'd you get that from? No. He just came in and poured oil on his head. He just poured oil on his head. That's all. He just poured oil on his head and said, this is him. All of a sudden, he turned into another man. It's going to be time, folks, for endowments. That means giftings that are going to come on you overnight. That's what I'm telling you. And what is the enemy trying to get you to do? Not go there. Don't go past your fears. put a lot of fear in your heart that witchcraft's in there. Man, you know, they cursing people over there. Whoa. You ain't read the scripture. God said, I'll bless them that bless you. Now I will curse them that curse you. He won't even let it happen. I said, he won't even let it happen. Daniel was living beside a witch doctor. But it didn't bother him at all. You know why? He knew who he was. And when you go in that place and you know who you are, it won't bother you at all. Because you know you're about to take the whole thing over. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise.